Hello, everyone. We warmly welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion on August 4th, 2019. Thank you for joining us. And we are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. We welcome you all, and we'll begin with our morning prayer.
From page 187 of Miscellany. May the divine light of Christian Science that lighteth every enlightened thought illumine your faith and understanding, exclude all darkness or doubt, and signal the perfect path wherein to walk, the perfect principle whereby to demonstrate the perfect man and the perfect law of God. In the words of St. Paul, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And St. John says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. May the grace and love of God be and abide with you all. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. Perfect for our subject on love today. And Jeremy, you could start with our watching point, please.
Watching point 220. Watch lest you forget that you expose error for no other purpose than that you may cease to believe in it. If this were remembered by more students, there would be less so-called exposing of error. Never forget that when error is exposed with an unscientific motive, it serves to make it more real. Pointing out errors in other students is not exposing error. It is really exposing yourself, since it indicates the degree to which you are believing in error.
Comments on that? What's an unscientific motive?
Who should be greatest?
Definitely.
Anger.
Jealousy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Competition.
Resentment. These are the subtle nuances in science. And the human mind goes into extremes. I think, you know, people at that time were getting on the bandwagon about exposing error. Anyone can go around and, oh, you're doing this and you're doing that. And if that's all you're doing, thinking you're righteous and exposing error, that is not science at all. God must move upon the waters. It has to be done out of love to expose the error. To do what to the error?
Destroy it. It's the error that is the love that casts it out anyway.
Yes. Mrs. Eddy has said, and remember this, never leave anything in the negative. Never leave anything in the negative. If you expose error and then just leave it, you have done worse than nothing. The only reason to expose it is from love to heal. And remember, also, you are exposing an error. You are not out to expose the person. But the error must be exposed. And this is the other extreme. So then first everybody's exposing error, and then nobody is exposing error because, oh, we have to be loving. Neither one is correct.
Could you explain how, like, give an example of exposing error but not exposing the person, please?
Well, when you expose an error and you clearly see in your own thought it is not person, and you know it is an error you are rebuking, and you are clear on that point, well, that's how it's done.
When you see someone doing something wrong, a coworker, a family member, a child, there's an error. And so are you going to expose that error? Are you going to say something? Then if you are, the question is, why? Why are you exposing the error? Is it because you want that person to look bad? Or is it because you love that person and you want to help them?
And you see the error as no part of them. And that's the big distinction. It's the error you are rebuking, not the person. And if you do it from love, and if you do it in that way, if the person is humble and receptive at all, he will receive a great blessing. Now, if they're not, then that's something else. Or maybe the people around, oh, look how cruel you are. And that often can happen. That's why it's not easy to be the one to give the rebuke. Because, and then who are you to say, well, look, you're not so perfect yourself. I mean, all this stuff comes back on the person who's rebuking.
But then you don't do it.
That's part of the cross bearing. But again, what is your motive? Always your motive. Who's speaking?
Mike, I was going to say what I have found is that if I don't approach it with a spiritual truth, either from the Bible or Mrs. Eddy's writings, it doesn't matter how correct it was in seeing the error, because I can't put my finger on it right now, but somewhere in miscellaneous writings, Mrs. Eddy writes that if you try, or maybe that was the blue book, but anyway, she writes that if you approach things with material means, it's always going to end bad. It doesn't matter how correct you are.
Absolutely.
If the foundation is material basis, then it's wrong.
And you see, in this lesson, this week on love, we are going to go into all these nuances about what it is and what it is not.
And so, I think it's also helpful if you see that it's something that is trying to attach itself to the person.
Yes.
It's not something that's innate in them. It's not something that they want, but to see it that way.
That's good. It's always a mesmerism.
And I think also this makes...
Well, what's helped me is, you know, if it's wrong, I mean, God couldn't have created that. God created only good. His children are his manifestation. So that's why the love to separate that error from that person to begin with and then cast it out.
Thank you.
Yes. And that is Mrs. Evans' definition of love. To see your neighbor as God's perfect creation. That is the greatest love you can have. And when you have that love for them, you don't tolerate error out of love for them.
And you don't personalize it either. It's not personal. It doesn't belong to them. So that's how you, and that's how you can deal with it. And that's the only way you can deal with it. Mrs. Eddy says in the Blue Book 220, to make too little of error is to ignore, evade, endure, excuse, and conceal it. To make too much of error is to love, hate, fear, honor, and drive it. Then error is not to be ignored, evaded, endured, excused, concealed, loved, hated, feared, honored, driven. Now, if you see an error in a person and you understand it is an error, not them, and you don't do anything about it, well, that's actually both of them. You're concealing it, but you're also afraid of it. You're afraid that, well, they might get mad at you. And that's the personal sense about the whole thing. And that renders it, the whole thing, ineffective, as Mike was saying. think about those words. I have. Dale, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking that it reminds me of the biblical principle that you just don't go and accuse somebody or do it out in open. At first, you go to the person and you confront the person lovingly. You just do that first. That's where you start.
That's right. And this is biblical. This is in Matthew, I think. First you do it, first the person one-on-one. Then if they don't get it and they still go on in their ways, then you might have to do it more openly. It's all, Mrs. Evans would say, you don't ever use a 2x4 unless it's just they're just not getting it. And then when they don't get it, that means they're in such a deep mesmerism, you've got to do something to either make them laugh, cry, or get angry. That breaks the mesmerism.
The golden rule.
Golden rule. Michael, does that answer your question? Well, we don't hear you if you're there, Michael.
Yes, thank you. Sorry about that. I was on mute. Yes, I got it. And what would you recommend in terms of like it happening just right there in the moment? I mean, I as far as being spiritually minded about saying it, but if it happens just so fast that you, I guess you'd have to just start your day that way, and then that would be the way to be. Mm-hmm. I answered my own question. Thanks.
That's it. That's why we pray in the morning, getting that right spirit, that right mind. And then you will do the right thing. And I can't ever advise anybody as to what to do. This is God moving on the waters. One instance, it might be right to do a certain thing. Another time, it wouldn't. So it's always God.
And Jesus instructed his disciples that as they went around the world and as they were taken up by judges or kings or policemen or whatever, not to worry about what to say, because God would give them what to say at the time.
That's exactly right. That's why, you know, you can't really plan ahead on these things. God will move you. Now, on page 209 in Miscellaneous Writings by Mrs. Eddy, Thy Will Be Done, she says, peace has no foothold on the false basis that evil should be concealed, and that life and happiness should still attend it. To this scientific logic and the logic of events, egotism and false charity say, not so, Lord. It is wise to cover iniquity and punish it not. Then shall mortals have peace. Divine love, as unconscious, is incapable of error. Pursues the evil that hideth itself, strips off all its disguises, and behold the result. Evil uncovered is self-destroyed. Christian Science never healed a patient without proving with mathematical certainty that error, when found out, is 2/3 destroyed and the remaining third, what?
Destroyed itself.
Yes. Do men whine over a nest of serpents and post around it placards warning people not to stir up these reptiles because they have stings? Christ said, they shall take up serpents, and be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The wisdom of a serpent is to... what?
Conceal itself.
Yes, hide itself. The wisdom of God, as revealed in Christian Science, brings the serpent out of its hole, handles it, and takes away its sting. Good deeds are harmless. He who has faith in woman's special adaptability to lead on Christian Science will not be shocked when she puts her foot on the head of the serpent as it biteth at the heel. What is she saying there? Mrs. Eddy rebuked, and people were shocked by it and didn't like it. And that's partly why they didn't want unauthorized literature to get out, because people might not understand her. So instead, a huge and major truth has been hidden from the world, that rebukes and reproof are necessary. And as you grow in science, you will become it. You can't hold them back. And not because you hate, but because you love. It's partly what's wrong with the world right now, this human do-goody sense that we must be loving. Anything goes, you let everything go, and then you just turn the other cheek. It is not Christian Science. It is not love. It is cowardice. And this, my friends, all goes along on the subject on love. Any other comments or questions on that?
Can I make some comments about my situation with my roof?
Oh, sure.
Well, I had a guy come and put a metal roof on a rental house that I have, and he did it all wrong, and it will leak, it will deteriorate. It's not done right at all. It's just like metal down on top of a roof, and he made a lot of mistakes in doing it. He had a very young crew that didn't know what they were doing. He made all kind of promises in the beginning and assured me that he knew what he was doing. I explained to him what I wanted. The roof is entirely wrong and it needs to come off. And so I kept showing him where he made his mistake. And he was totally convinced that that is how roofs are done. Well, it's not the way roofs are done. So I had to get to the point where I told him to stop work, get off my roof, get off my property. This is wrong. And I did ask him for my money back, and he said that's not going to happen. So now I'm in the process of I have to take him to court for my money back because This man is completely mesmerized into thinking that he's doing roofs correctly. And I think that I struggle the most with it because he's doing roofs for other people that don't know he's doing it wrong. And he's completely, you know, thinking he's doing roofs correctly. So he's telling all these people, just like he told me, well, this is the way roofs are done, and you know, there's nothing wrong with this roof. So I'm kind of in the process right now of setting that right. I mean, I'm not going to go to the point where I'm on Facebook and screaming about this guy because it's not him. He is under mesmerism into thinking he's doing right. But there's also an element that I know in my heart that he is also being greedy about things because he didn't use my money correctly. He didn't buy all the products he said he was going to buy or he should have bought to put on the roof. He took shortcuts to save himself some money. So the only thing I can do is take him to court is a way of waking him up. Hopefully he's not allowed to do this to other people. So that's where I'm at right now. It kind of covers everything that you said already this morning. I mean, I do have a love for this guy, but what he's doing is completely wrong, and he needs to be woken up from it.
Right, and you tried everything else. The taking to court is only the very, very last resort. But when you've tried everything else, and this is a matter of principle, and it has to be. So you stand with principle. Principle stands with you.
And principle and love are two sides of the same coin. Because principle without love is an iceberg. And love without principle is what?
Jellyfish.
It's mush.
Yeah, I could have probably in the past, I would have just said, well, you know, just let it go because I didn't have the strength or the understanding or anything like that. Just let it go and be angry and stew on it for months and months and months that this guy did me wrong and all of this. But because of what I have in Christian Science, taken a different approach to it, and it feels more at peace to go this route and really explain to him what he's doing wrong and that he shouldn't be doing this to people. And, you know, taking that avenue, it has really helped to calm me down and not let all that anger well up and just go the wrong route with this, which wouldn't solve anything.
And you see, if you don't do this, that's exactly what happens. And frankly, this is the belief of how diseases get started. You suppress all your anger. You don't speak up when you should. And this stuff roils around in your head. Pretty soon you're talking to other people about your anger rather than addressing the person that needs to be. And you're spreading your anger all over the place instead of doing what you should. Calm down, count to 10. And love is the liberator. Get back to where you're loving and impersonalizing what is happening. And then a big lesson, when these things happen to me, I realize I need to do better work for my home. I need to know no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. That and so these things aren't happening anymore. But if they do happen, then let it be, as the golden text says, all things working together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, in doing this, and Luann's doing it out of love for maybe all the other people this guy has bilked, well, it'll all work out for good. This is a law of God. But those conditions must be met. You have to love God, and you have to be called according to his purpose. And I said in my testimony, that's doing the best you can in serving the Father, being a one with him, working the science. And it doesn't matter how bad your situation is at the time. God will work it out. Sometimes it takes a while. You know, people say, well, every week we hear all of these wonderful demonstrations going on, and I just don't seem to be doing anything. Well, sweethearts, we're not going to get up and say, I've been working on a problem for 5 years now. It's still not finished. That's not a testimony, but that doesn't mean it's not going on. Sometimes things take longer. Ask me, ask Florence. Right, Florence?
Very. Yes, sometimes. I hesitate to say, yeah, but, you know, but somehow, amazingly and lovingly, he works it out. If you've given it to him with your heart, some way, somehow, it just resolves itself. It's just, thank God, enough. Mm-hmm. He never fails. No.
Never fails his promise.
It takes steps. You don't learn it all in one big step. You have to learn step by step, stage by stage, and just keep going.
And that's the thing. Lessons learned, lives changed, character. That quote fairly can quote about the character subdued and
A little more grace.
Mm-hmm. A little more grace, yes. It's a beautiful quote in Prose Works by Mrs. Eddy. But that has to be in order for the results. You might just want the solution. But what your prayer should be is, Father, make me more godlike. May I awake in your image. That's what your prayer should be. And also, on page 220 in the Blue Book, no one is loyal to truth, to himself, to his God, or is worthy of heaven who has not faith, pluck, and patience enough to endure without fainting, apparent defeat, and delayed rewards. Okay, apparent defeat and delayed rewards. So, and that goes, Florence, were you trying to say that? That goes to citation number 10, Science and Health. Carol?
Every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. The more difficult seems the material condition to be overcome by spirit, the stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. The Apostle John says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here is a definite and inspired proclamation of Christian Science.
Thank you. The stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. Is it? Are you learning this? Because in this, all things working together for good, you can go through trials and you can become bitter and hateful and turn into an ugly old shrew. Right? Or you can bow your head and learn the lessons and come out better, stronger, more beautiful than before. So Florence, now you wrote to this, and I think you were trying to say something earlier, so go ahead.
Earlier, I was trying to say that, you know, whatever we've asked for, he gives it at the right time. It might seem like, oh, but in the meantime, why not build a stronger faith and more love instead of, you know, the complaining and staying in the fear and just looking at what we want and it hasn't happened. I feel that, you know, if we stay grateful, because things are happening, good is still happening, even in that waiting period. And if we stay grateful, it increases our faith in God's power and love. And the effect of the command, peace be still, is gained when we acknowledge, respect, and love the power and love of God and revere its omnipresence through faithful application of this knowing and practice to all circumstances. We realize our freedom from discord and unjust conditions. I think, you know, I just, it's part of the what I've experienced. Some things took forever, but we don't question and grumble and go on all that. We just love more, exalt him more, praise him more, so you can feel that he's still with you and he works it out.
Yes. You know, we lose sight of all the good that's around us when you're so focused on this one healing that you've got to achieve to prove to all your family what a wonderful person you are and how great Christian Science is and me and I myself, and that's not going to work. You got to give it all to God. What lessons is he trying to teach you? It's not about what you want. I'm sorry, it isn't.
Gilbert Carpenter, this is a paraphrase, but he says not even to cherish a desire for healing until you're fit for it.
Thank you. So. Very true.
And this is why a lot of people have benefited from having a little pencil and paper at their bedside and writing down before they go to sleep things that they are grateful for that day. And thanking God for them instead of saying, well, you know, I was lucky today, or somebody yes. else did something for me today, or, well, it should have happened anyway. No. Thank God for all the good that came to you that day. And when you fill your heart with gratitude that way, it's a lot easier to see God working in your life for good.
Yes. Thank you. So true. So because people will say, well, I have no testimony to give because I have not made this demonstration of whatever it is. And yet in the meantime, you are missing so much good that is happening every single day because your focus is on the problem and not on God. And I'm telling you, that will make the day that that problem gets solved farther and farther away until you learn the lesson. Jeremy?
You had said maybe a couple of years ago that we should remember our past victories as like our stars and the crown of rejoicing. And I think of that a lot. If something seems really difficult, well, you know, God brought me from certain death to here. I'm sure this is not a big deal. So
absolutely. That's the gratitude. That's why we get together on Wednesdays. Remember, hitherto the Lord hath helped me and hitherto he will. So he's working it out. He's the great alchemist. He is turning lead into gold. He's turning coal into diamonds. He's doing it. He's working. He's burning off the dross that has kept you in some kind of a hellish bondage, and maybe you haven't even been aware of how great life can really be, life with a capital L.
And that is why we are to love God with our whole heart and soul, because he does that for us. It's really simple, folks. It's a matter of disciplining ourselves to do it. And what did and Jesus was the example. What did Jesus do before he raised Lazarus?
Thank God.
He thanked God. Yeah.
Okay, so next we'll go into the next lesson, which is citation 4 in the Bible, lines 6 to 9. Who would like to read that?
Ready?
Okay.
And it came to pass that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and unto me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward.
Ta-da-ta-da! Oh, my goodness me. How this happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, me.
And Linda wrote, the following is copied from a notebook kept by Mary Baker Eddy in her own handwriting. Envy, jealousy, or rivalry will kill the spirit of this science in the person who possesses it and will thwart the establishment of it in this age. Oh, why is not this realized by everyone who has the cause at heart and who has labored faithfully in some directions for its advancement? And then rivalry, competition, a strife or effort to obtain an object with another is pursuing, an endeavor to equal or surpass another in some excellence. Webster, 1828. It's that green-eyed monster, and you better watch it, because it'll come. It sometimes comes to those who are doing this work. Don't you ever say, oh, look at so-and-so. What she does is so wonderful. Take care of your own vineyard. Mrs. Eddy says that Adam started his reign mildly. It comes with the little suggestions. And then it increases. And this numbering, I mean, I have to admit, I'm always interested. I like to see how many people have been on our YouTubes, and I find great joy in that. But I have to watch my own thought. Sometimes they'll think, well, look at those big mega churches and all the people they have. And I've got to really smack myself over that. That's not our work. That has nothing to do with anything. But it would be that green-eyed monster. And then this is not a very well-known story in 1 Chronicles 21. And it's about David. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord, the king, are they not all of my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 400,000, 70,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. Now, why was he displeased, God?
What was
David doing?
Relying on matter?
Yes.
What was David's motive?
Just to make himself feel really good for how many subjects he had.
Yeah. He was worshiping the effect of God's blessing instead of worshiping God. He wanted to know how big his kingdom was. How many people did he rule? How much money was in his bank?
Look what that did for Solomon. Go ahead, yeah, Florence.
No, it says that's dangerous. That's where you're going, you know, making yourself bigger than what you losing that humility that God cherishes.
God gives the increase. If you have it, it's all God's doing. I read where David took the census to gauge his own military strength apart from the divine commandment. But you see how we do this. Oh, look at Mrs. Twiddlewinks. Her house is bigger than mine. Oh, look at their son. They went to some Ivy League college in mine. Oh, look at Mr. Browbeaten. He's got a wife that loves him, even though his name doesn't say that. But anyway, you know, it goes on and on, the comparisons. And that's numbering. That is the numbering of it. That's the jealousy, the rivalry. And when it happens in science, and believe me, it did, because that's what happened to Mrs. Evans. There's no doubt about it. There was jealousy about her. And that green-eyed monster just grew until we had quite the joy of being excommunicated. So.
And if we were really concerned about the numbers, it would drive us in a different way than what we are.
What is the remnant?
Small number.
Yes.
Be grateful.
Well, why would we even wonder that? This is the whole world. So.
I know, yes. And if you think about it, and someone once had said this somewhere, that all that's ever been accomplished, has it been a mega church, a huge amount of people? Look at Gideon.
The quality, not the quantity.
It is. Even Mrs. Eddy, during her own time, when she looked out, she went to talk at the mother church, I'm sure it was the original, and she looked out and said she did not see one single Christian Scientist. So again, all of that numbering, all of the rivalry, jealousy, it's nothing. It's nothing in the sight of God. And then you think of one person, Mrs. Eddy started out, she was the only Christian Scientist, wasn't she? And look what was accomplished. Look what, goodness, what Christ Jesus accomplished. Look how discouraged she could have been. Here he was crucified. And he probably looked out, he didn't see any Christians. So it doesn't matter. Please don't get into that. I smack myself around myself on it. Like I said, don't get into it. It doesn't matter. It's what you're doing now. If you're serving God to the best of your ability, that's all that matters. What else can you do?
What I find remarkable is that the people could have followed Mary Baker Eddy and Christ Jesus and then not given them any credit for what they had accomplished.
I know it. Yep.
Who shall be greatest?
Thank you. Yeah. Very, that's the point. Who shall be greatest? I'm going to take all that she suffered and did and make it, you know, give myself all the credit and glory. And believe me, God is a God, a just God, and that will, and it has, and it is. God's law of divine justice is in full and complete operation. The wicked shall not go unpunished. It's not nice, but it's true. Wicked shall not go unpunished. Jeremy?
Something that helped me with this was Bicknell Young said, Christian Science doesn't need to be advertised. It needs to be demonstrated. So that helped me to realize not to chase the numbers.
Thank you. You know, it's so easy. I remember at one time someone was talking about how we should do more marketing, and but Mrs. Eddy didn't fall into that. She healed, and her pure and right thought brings attraction, and it's so it will. As we keep our church pure and right, it will attract those who are pure and right and ready to do this work. And can we ask for more than that? No, we can't. And I found this very interesting because I opened to this week. This is from the healer, Keyston, on page 111. Ira O'Knapp, one of Mrs. Eddy's most trusted and valued students, relates an interesting sidelight on discipline in her church regarding one of the members. One of the early cases that came before the directors was a charge of immoral conduct against a first member who was a student of Mrs. Eddy's. From the evidence submitted, the directors were convinced that the charges were sustained. They therefore removed the individual from membership in the church and took the practitioner's card out of the Christian Science Journal, thereby depriving him of his livelihood. That punishment in no wise healed the individual, but made him so rebellious that he threatened a lawsuit in revenge. When Mrs. Eddy heard of this case, she asked the directors to restore her student to full church membership, including his office as first member, and to replace his card in the journal. This resulted in a complete healing of the individual. And then it quotes, and this one is from Luke, but it's in our lesson from Matthew, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. And it goes on how he loves everyone. That's the example from Mrs. Eddy. But she had that divine love that could heal and see the situation and what was needed. And as I've said, I don't know of any instance that I know of that she excommunicated or did those sort of things. So, anyone else about anything that we've been talking about?
Yes, I'd like to read that quote. I did find it in the blue book. It's on page 210. If human belief handles animal magnetism, there is a fight. But divine love knows there is nothing to fight. God is all that will handle animal magnetism. When error appears, it only appears to disappear.
Thank you. That's very good. And that's the divine love that heals. And that's why we don't argue. We don't, it's called the fight of the beast. You don't get into that. Thank you. It's a 210 in the blue book.
Yes, and that's a big lesson I have to learn.
It's very tempting, especially when you get heated up over something, to set the battle in array, and you're believing that there's an error, you're believing that there's a big problem, you're believing that there's a person who's disobedient, and they will rebel and react. Got to go in your closet, cleanse yourself of all that materiality, and come out seeing what God hath made a beautiful hymn that Florence has given us, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Now, Florence, you wrote also beautifully on the Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ. I loved what you said. Are you there? If you're talking, you're on mute.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to find it. Yeah, I was thinking, my goodness, if this is what we are supposed to know and feel, I mean, what can separate us? You know, so I was saying that the scriptural truth and their clear interpretation through Christian Science form our formidable arsenal in this combat between metaphysics and material concepts. I find that when I make these truths my own, like the above, when the moments when errors seem or feel so real approach, I can question what would attempt to separate me from the infinite love. Can these lies, with their fancy names like anxiety, headache, dizziness, eczema, psoriasis, material medical verdicts, bills not paid, discordant relationship, injustice, separate me from my eternal unity with God? Can they change that unchanging spiritual perfection? If I accept any of these lies, would I not be forfeiting my sonship with my loving father, mother? Faith in this oneness is our salvation. In these moments, my choice to honor my ever-present father, mother, with the words in the above verses, followed by a praise or thankful hymn like in 280, hymn 280, would lift the clouds of gloom and allow the feel of the light of love. Try it. You will love the effect. The knowing of our inseparability from truth and love comforts, uplifts, and heals. Yes, who can separate?
Oops, we lost you.
Oh.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Just the last sentence we lost.
The last sentence is yes. Who can separate me from the love of God?
Thank you. That's just beautiful. I love all that list. It made me laugh, but you know, we all have a list of things. What are we going to do about it? Love is the liberator, and love for God. Remember, all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And if you love God, you will challenge these false beliefs, because they are not of God. Remember, love is the liberator. Always loving more, but knowing what true love is and watching those little foxes that spoil the vine. So we will end this morning with a message from 1902.
God likeness. St. Paul writes, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. To attain peace and holiness is to recognize the divine presence and allness. Jesus said, I am the way. Kindle the watchfires of unselfed love, and they throw a light upon the uncomplaining agony in the life of our Lord. They open the enigmatical seals of the angel standing in the sun, a glorified spiritual idea of the ever-present God, in whom there is no darkness, but all is light, and man's immortal being. The meek might, sublime patience, wonderful works, and opening not his mouth in self-defense against false witnesses, express the life of God-likeness. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He knew that obedience is the test of love. that one gladly obeys when obedience gives him happiness. Selfishly or otherwise, all are ready to seek and obey what they love. When mortals learn to love aright, when they learn that man's highest happiness, that which has most of heaven in it, is in blessing others and self-immolation, they will obey both the old and the new commandment and receive the reward of obedience.
Thank you. Love, Laura. And thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.